We are at Turkey Swamp, and just now I introduce you to the beauty of this place and the background. And I'm going to give a short explanation on the Medicine Buddha practice as composed by the omniscient Panchen Losan Chukyi Gelson, who also composed the Guru Puja or the Guru Yoga, which is a very, very powerful and much used recitation text in the monasteries. My friend Paul has been ill with severe slip disc, and this is one of the practices that he must do in order for healing. And he works for Kichara House, of course, and in his department he's got a lot of very, very loyal and close staff that work together with him to bring Dharma to others. So this teaching is actually for his department and his group in order for them to do the Medicine Buddha practice, to retreat, to dedicate the merits for Paul to heal. But this practice can be done anywhere, by anyone, individually or for others. It can even be done for animals. Medicine Buddha belongs to one of the four classes of tantras. It's one of the lower tantras, and it is developed specifically to help us clear problems along the way so that we may practice higher forms of Buddhism, higher forms of tantra, in order for us to become enlightened. The Medicine Buddha practice belongs to a set of tantras called Kriya, and it's specifically aimed for helping us with medical and health problems, internal, external, psychological problems, also for blessing the environment. It's very good for blessing animals. It's also very good for blessing medicine. For example, we can take medicine and we can recite the mantra of Medicine Buddha and blow on the medicine. And when we take the medicine, it's much more effective. This practice can be done by anyone without any initiation. It can be done by anyone who has no prior initiation or prior practice permission. You can combine this with any other practice that you're doing. You can do it on its own. You can do it during the morning. You can do it in the afternoon. You can do it in the evening. You can do it once a day. You can do it once a week, once every few days, once a month, or as and when it needs to be done. There's no set rules. Of course, if we do it every single day as our sadhana, then we can do preventative karma for healing. Meaning, we can do a lot of practices that can prevent certain karma from manifesting. In this case, karma that is for disease from manifesting, or to lessen the disease that will manifest, or to cure the disease that will manifest. So this practice will be very good. In places where you have a lot of earthquakes or natural disasters, if this Medicine Buddha practice is done, then it settles the land, it settles the area, and it makes the natural disasters less, or even eliminates them. So the Medicine Buddha practice is good for individual healing of your body and your mind. It's excellent for healing of the land and the environment. It's one of the best mantras to recite to blow on our beloved animals. It can be horses or dogs or chickens. And even if animals have passed away, it can be blown on their bones. If we blow on their bones, it'll be very, very beneficial for them, to help them to take good rebirth. This Medicine Buddha practice can be done to bless the land, bless the environment, bless animals, bless ourselves, heal our body, heal our mind. We can do it anytime, in any place, and I repeat, we do not need to take any initiation for this practice. We do not need to take. This particular one that I'm sharing can be done by anyone of any background, of any school of Buddhism. It will be very, very beneficial, all right? And I will upload this practice onto my blog site so everyone can see. And this is not for commercial use, it's not for sale, it's to share in order to help people to heal. On page 4 of the sadhana, as you will see here, we have a chart on how to make the offerings. This will be on my blog, so you can see it more clearly there. in general, it would be good to have an image of medicine Buddha. It would be very good to have an image of medicine Buddha on our throne, on a throne, or on a table, or on its own throne. It would be very nice to have an image of medicine Buddha, whether it's statue or picture, whatever size is up to you. It could be added to any other picture. I also have medicine Buddha pictures on my blog site in which we can download. Then, we also should set up a mandala for medicine Buddha. And then we should have a Dharma text, preferably the medicine Buddha sutra. And also wrapped in 5-color cloth, it should be on the left. We should have a medicine Buddha mandala. And a picture of our teacher and the offerings. All right, I don't need to get into a lot of details because it's written very clearly here what we need. For any reason, if we're in a place or our financial constraints restrict us, then the basic thing is to have an image of medicine Buddha and a set of offerings, 8 offerings of water and some flowers. That would be all right. So for any reason we cannot afford more, or we're not in a place that's possible, or if we're in a hotel room or we're traveling, then we can have a picture of medicine Buddha. And in front of that, we can have one set of water offerings. If we can get flowers. Otherwise, it would be good to do the extensive offering as we have listed over here. Okay? That's on page 4. Then the way we go through the sadhana is like this. We should prepare, in the extensive offering, we should prepare 8 tormas, any size. And if we do it traditionally, we make it from tsampa, milk, butter, yogurt, sugar, molasses, and honey. But if we cannot, we can use 8 bowls or 8 plates of biscuits and cookies, vegetarian ones, of course. All right, so that is on page number 5. We can do the offerings there extensively. If we do not have the resources, or the time or the place, again, one medicine Buddha, a set of 8 offering bowls with water, and maybe 1 torma, which is 1 biscuit, that would be good enough, all right? But it would be good to do the extensive one because it collects more merit in relations for the person we are trying to dedicate the merits to heal, whether it's ourselves or someone else. The sadhana is, number 1, you take refuge. Number 2, 35 confessional Buddhas. Number 3, we do 21 times Miktama, the mantra of Lama Tsongkhapa, and we visualize that as one with our teacher. Number 4, we do the medicine Buddha actual sadhana. Number 5, if time allows, we can do the Setra black tea as our protector to remove obstacles for our practice and completion of our practice. If we do not have time, we can skip number 5, which is the Setra black tea. Then we do the dedication, and then we're done. Now, if we have ritual instruments, such as a vajra and bell, we may use that. And there are indications in the sadhana where you use it. If you do not know how to use it, or you do not have ritual items, you do not need to do that. You simply just have keep your hands still and do it in a very calm and placid way. It would, because it belongs to action tantras, it would be very good if during this practice we abstain from the black foods, meat, eggs, onion, garlic, intoxicants, and any type of sexual activity on that day alone. So if we're going to do medicine Buddha, it would be good to avoid those. If we cannot avoid those, then we go ahead and do the sadhana anyway. It's like when we go to the gym, we shouldn't eat too much before we go, then we do some warm-up exercises, and then we start our routine. But if we didn't get to eat, or we ate too much and we still have to go, then we still have to go to the gym. And if we don't get to do a good warm-up, We do the best we can. So it's the same in this. If we can avoid meat, eggs, onion, and garlic, and intoxicants such as alcohol and sexual conduct on that day to do this practice, it'll be much more efficacious. That is for the person doing the puja. If you cannot, it's okay. You do the best you can. So number 6 is the start of the sadhana. It is praising. Namo Guru Muni Jaya. The river merely hearing your names makes even Avicii's hellfires cool as lotus pond. Avicii here refers to the lowest, the deepest, the most severe hell. Those for those who broken commitments and samayas and broken their vajra, tantric commitments. Then there's a special type of hell that you take rebirth in. It's called Avicii, where there is no cessation of pain. It says here, the river merely hearing your names makes even Avicii's hellfires cool as a lotus pond. Protectors in the degenerate age, seven Sukhatas, and head of the Shakyas, to you I bow down. So Shakyamuni, in the form of the medicine Buddha, together with the seven other medicine Buddhas, that includes all eight of them. Okay? Distracted by activities of varying importance. To benefit myself and those with faith in the life stories of these seven Buddhas for degenerate times, I'll condense the Ambrosia Sutra ritual to its molten essence. This is what the Panchen Lama says. Because of the infallibility of Arya Buddha's proclamation that the power and blessings of the medicine Buddha are greater and swifter in degenerate times, we accept it. Having already made preparations to describe the sutra ritual, one who wishes to perform its quintessential ritual for invoking the heart commitment of the protectors during degenerate times, the seven Sukhatas should recite as follows, fully infusing the mind with refuge and bodhicitta. Okay, so we go to page number 7, which is reciting refuge and bodhicitta. I don't think I need to read line by line. We recite the refuge and bodhicitta. After that, we recite the four immeasurables. So refuge and bodhicitta three times. That is to develop complete faith and trust in our lamas, in medicine Buddha, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, the deities, the Dharma, and the Sangha completely. When we trust the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha completely, and we do this practice, it will be much more effective. It's just like when we trust the gym, and we trust the trainer, then we'll have more confidence in doing the exercises and therefore getting better results. Then we recite the four immeasurables. Afterwards, we recite the power of truth and offerings. And then finally, the invocation. Page number 8 is an invocation. We burn some incense at this point if we had not already. The incense signifies purifying and clearing the area, so that we invite the holy beings such as Medicine Buddha to come forth. And the invocation is compassionate protectors in degenerate times, seven Sukhatas, Buddha Shakyamuni, holy Dharma Bodhisattvas, and guardians. Invited as a support and protective refuge to protect others and myself, may you come here, gather, and grant your blessings. So with that, we can think of inviting Buddha Shakyamuni in the form of Medicine Buddha and the other seven Buddhas that come together. All right, then it says here, we can insert here the extensive bath offering here, which is called trusu. We do not need to do that here. You do not need to put trusu here. Then the next one is the seven limb practice. You can recite as you see, go along here. Then we go down to beseeching. As you see on the left, there are symbols of holding the vajra, ringing the bell, doing the lotus mudra, and doing the prostration. For example, it says, Ru Guru, whose kindness is without equal, you hold the vajra. King of the Shakyas, you ring your bell. Manjushri, Shantaraksita, and so on. Holder in their hands of this profound sutra, to the direct and lineage gurus, I prostrate. So that would be the mudra. First is holding the vajra. Second is ringing the bell. The third line, you would turn the lotus mudra. The fourth line is holding your hands together in prostration. You do not have to do that. You can just hold your hands in prostration or keep it still. Either way, okay? So you read down up to beseeching and you go to page 9. On page 9, it's the prayers to the individual medicine Buddhas. So you recite the first one 7 times. Then you go down. And each part mentions clearly what this particular medicine Buddha pacifies. For example, the first one, his name is Glorious King of Excellent Signs, Suparikirti Tanamasri Jaraja. That's the name of the first medicine Buddha. And he specifically helps us free us from epidemics, execution, criminals, spirits, having our faculties not complete, and also not falling into the lower realms. And he helps us to purify karma from hunger, thirst, and poverty, and from tigers, lions, snakes, and conflicts, as well as floods. This is a very, very special medicine Buddha associated with purifying the karma for those disasters that happen in our life. All right, then we recite that. Next one is page 10. We go to the next medicine Buddha, which is called Svara Gosaraja. And we recite that 7 times, the praise as you see here. And again, the prayer to him, meditation upon him, and his visualization and offerings are done here to this medicine Buddha. And it tells you specifically what he purifies yourself from at the bottom. Okay, the same thing for page number 11. We go to the next medicine Buddha. And then 12. Everything is the same procedure except you're reciting the prayers, the praise, and the meditation for each of the medicine Buddhas. So it's pretty systematic. Go on to page 13. Everything's still the same. Page 14. Page 15. Everything is the same. Page 15 is the one that we recite to the Lapis King by Shava Guru Medicine Buddha. That's the one we usually see, okay? And continue on to that one. Then the last one is praise to Shakyamuni. It's the 7 medicine Buddhas, including Shakyamuni. So I would just call it 8. So the last one on page 16 is to the Bhagavan Tathagata, Arhat, fully enlightened Buddha, glorious conqueror Shakyamuni. I prostrate, offer it, and go for refuge. Recite that 7 times. Golden in color with earth-pressing mudra, who through the force of unique great compassion and enthusiasm became the glorious one of this, the fearless world system. I prostrate to the supreme leader, head of the Shakyas, born in the Shakya lineage out of skillful means and compassion, unchallenged by others, conqueror of Mara's forces, body majestic as the golden Mount Meru. I prostrate to the king of the Shakyas. I make every collection of offering actually arranged and emanated. Through the force of mantra, samadhi, and aspiration, I confess all downfalls and negativities. Rejoice in the virtues, request and beseech, and dedicate such virtues as these to the great enlightenment. Pray, bless us, and all beings who lack a protector, to receive here immediately without exception the benefits as taught by the Supreme Teacher in the extensive sutra ritual of Medicine Buddha. So then you finish there. That is the praises to the 7 Medicine Buddha. That is the meditation, praise, making offering to the 7 Medicine Buddha and Shakyamuni. After that, you'll be making prostrations and prayer and praises to the Holy Dharma. That is on 17. On 18, you'll be reciting the benefits of this practice. And finally, the mantra, which I'll recite here. There are 2 mantras, the shorter one and the longer one. The longer mantra you can recite once is enough. 3 times would be excellent, 7 times would be great, 21 times would be unexcelled, but 1 time will be enough. And this is how it goes. Om Namo Bhagavate Bekanze Guru Bedurya Prabha Rajaya Tathagataya Arhataya Samyasam Buddhaya Teyata Om Bekanze Bekanze Maha Bekanze Bekanze Ranza Samukate Soha. I repeat. And you won't be able to recite this perfectly and exactly, even I can't, but to get close to it and do the best we can would invoke the blessings of the Medicine Buddha. Of course, this mantra is in Sanskrit, so it's a little different from our normal conversation and pronunciation of our language. So there's going to be accent. Om Namo Bhagavate Bekanze Guru Bedurya Prabha Rajaya Tathagataya Arhate Samyasam Buddhaya, Teyata, Om Bekansi, Bekansi, Maha Bekansi, Bekansi, Ranza Samukate Soha. Om Namo Bhagavate, Bekansi, Guru, Bedurya, Prabha, Rajaya, Tathagataya, Arhate, Samyasam Buddhaya, Teyata, Om Bekansi, Bekansi, Maha Bekansi, Bekansi, Ranza Samukate Soha. We can recite that 1 time, 3 times, 7 times, 21 times, or more. That's the long mantra of Medicine Buddha. I'll repeat it 1 more time. Om Namo Bhagavate Bekanze Guru Bedurya Prabha Rajaya Tathagataya Arhate Samyasam Buddhaya teyata om bekansi, bekansi, maha bekansi, bekansi, ranza samokate soha. That's the long one. Now, the one that we need to focus on is do as much as possible in our practice is teyata. It's on page 19. Teyata om bekansi, bekansi, maha bekansi, bekansi, ranza samokate soha. Teyata om bekansi, bekansi, maha bekansi, bekansi, ranzu samokate soha. Teyata om bekansi, bekansi, maha bekansi, bekansi, ranza samokate soha. Teyata om bekansi, bekansi, maha bekansi, bekansi, ranza samokate soha. Teyata om bekansi, bekansi, maha bekansi, bekansi, ranza samokate soha. So, this is the actual mantra we should recite as much as possible. This is the mantra we can recite to blow on our animals. This is the mantra we can blow on bones. This is the mantra we can blow. Example, if we have a mantra, if we have bones of an animal that's already passed away and we want to help them take rebirth, we can recite this mantra any place and any time directly on the bone. Do we need to do the whole sadhana to blow onto the bone or the meat or the animal? No, we don't. We can just recite the mantra and visualize Medicine Buddha and our Guru is one, and then blow it on the bone or the flesh. Sometimes people are forced to eat meat. They have no choice in certain situations in order not to offend the host or offend people or whatever situation. We can quietly recite this mantra. Teyata om bekansi bekansi ma bekansi bekansi ranza samokate yeso teyata om bekansi bekansi ma bekansi bekansi ranza samokate yeso teyata om bekansi bekansi ma bekansi bekansi ranza samokate yeso ha. And we can blow on the bones or the flesh or the meat of the animal. This will benefit the animal to take rebirth. All right? This is mentioned in the Medicine Buddha Tantras. This mantra can be recited beyond this sadhana. It can be recited while we're driving. It can be recited while we're watching TV. It can be recited while we're walking in the park. It can be recited while we're just relaxing. It can be recited anywhere, with or without a mala. It's extremely beneficial. This mantra is wonderful to heal sickness, calm the environment, bless animals. It's wonderful for our pets to hear this mantra. If we can recite this mantra to our pets every single day, let them hear it, and even blow it on them after reciting it, it will bless them very, very, very much. All right? So if we love our animals, recite this mantra to them. So this mantra can be done 21 times, 108 times, or more. Depends on you and your time. In Paul's case, I have given a recommended amount that the group should recite dedicated to Paul. And for Paul's case, we should have a picture of Paul in front of the Medicine Buddha statue to dedicate the merits towards him. All right? Teyata om bekansi bekansi maha bekansi bekansi ranza samokate soha. Then after we finish that, we do a praise. Rukuru, whose kindness is without equal, king of the Shakyas, Manjushri, Shantarakshita, and so on, holding in their hands this profound sutra, to the direct and lineage gurus I prostrate. Shantarakshita was a great monk that came from India to Tibet that brought the Dharma prior to Guru Rinpoche and the Tisha's coming. He was the first one invited. It was Shantarakshita. Then later, Guru Rinpoche was invited to clear obstacles, and then later Atisha came to Tibet. And these three great masters established Buddhism in Tibet to be known to what we have today as we know it. All right? The next one is praise. Then last is on page 19, request for forgiveness. Any lack of meditation, feeling sleepy, wrong recitation, we ask for forgiveness here to the Medicine Buddha. Then on page 20, you'll see something here that says request to remain. And that is to request the Medicine Buddha's energy and entourage to remain in the picture or the statue we have in front of us. So we can recite, by remaining here together with this image, for the sake of all migrators, may you grant us long life without illness, power, and supreme attainments. And then if you have a little rice, you can throw it toward the direction of the statue or the picture and recite Sutrita Benza Ye Soha. Sutrita Benza Ye Soha. There are many versions of this. Some recite it Supra Tita Benza Ye Soha. My teacher taught me it's Sutrita Benza Ye Soha. So you can recite it the way the text has here, it's fine. And by reciting that praise and that mantra and that request, you are sealing the blessings of Medicine Buddha's energy into the image you have. Because Buddhists do not pray to the statues or pray to the pictures or the tankas. They are just representative of the enlightened energies of the Buddhas. So once you request the Buddhas to enter these images, and then we request them to remain with this mantra, they stay there and becomes an object of offering. So then the statues become energized, the pictures become powerful, and they become the real Medicine Buddha. So when we see these images, they bless us. Then we do the dedication here and the auspicious verses. And that will go up to page 22, and then you will see that it finishes here. If you have further time, you can do from page 23 up to page 28 for the complete dedication. If not, you can just stop on page 22. All right? So this is a short and concise explanation on the Medicine Buddha practice as composed by the omniscient Panchen Losang Chugyi Gyaltsen. I have this uploaded online for you, and you may do it anytime that you like. I would like to repeat, it's a little cold here, so I'm bundling up with jackets and all that. I would like to repeat that the Medicine Buddha practice is very, very powerful for settling natural disasters in the area. So if you live in an area that has a lot of natural disasters, this is a very good practice to do. And in your yard, in your garden, or on your altar, a Medicine Buddha image is very, very good to put in the area where there's a lot of natural disasters. It will calm the area down. It will relax the area. So relax the beings in the area, the devas and the nagas, and all the disturbance makers. It is very, very good to have a Medicine Buddha image made of whatever material you can afford in your garden. So the squirrels, the birds, the cats, the dogs, the insects, any animals that come around and see the Medicine Buddha, then the imprints of Medicine Buddha or the Buddha will be planted in their mind stream in order for them to collect merit or imprints to take a good rebirth in the future. It is very, very good to give people Medicine Buddha images to put on their altars because it will bless them, consecrate them, and plant imprints of enlightenment in their mind. It is also excellent to recite the Medicine Buddha mantra in the presence of sick people or in the presence of animals that we love or any animals. It's very good to recite it onto animals that have passed away or their bones or their flesh if we have. And even for people who have just passed away, if we are in the presence of people who have just passed away and we don't know what to do while they're passing or when they have just passed away, I repeat, while they're passing or if they have just passed away, if we don't know what to do, this is a very good mantra to recite for the people who are passing, if we happen to be in their presence, quietly and calmly near them so they can hear it. And even after they have passed away and their five senses have closed, this is a very good mantra to recite for them. And on top of that, this is a very good practice to do for people who are very ill, who have terminal diseases, who have terminal illnesses, and who have illnesses that threaten their life. This will help to purify the karma to extend their illness. Yes, taking medicine, doing exercise, and having the right diet and rest is important, but those are environmental factors. The actual factor for us to be ill is the karma that we have created in order to receive this illness that we have. So the karma that we have accrued, that allows us to attract this type of illness for whatever reasons is what we need to deal with. So if the karma is not purified and the karma is not cleared and clean, we can take the best medicine, see the best doctors, live in the best hospitals, get the best nursing care, we will still not get well. Hence, when we go to the best hospitals, no matter how renowned, how famous the hospitals are anywhere in the world, you will see people dying almost on a daily basis. And it's not the fault of the doctors or the nurses or the medication, but karma has caught up. I repeat, karma has caught up. And I don't mean that in a condemnation way or condemning anyone. Karma has caught up. So therefore, what's important besides taking medication? What's important besides health and sleep and rest, which is very important? This is no denying for everyone, anyone, healthy or ill, is the karma behind it. If the karma behind it is not clear, no matter what we do, we will not get well. So the medicine Buddha specifically manifested in order for us to do their practice to purify the different types of karmas we have accumulated to suffer the diseases that threaten our life. Our life is so unstable and is so delicate. Anytime we can pass away. And when we pass away, when will we get another human rebirth? When will we meet our teacher? When will we meet the Dharma? When will we be in a situation to practice Dharma again? Just think in this life, how much time was wasted before you met the Dharma? How much time was wasted before you even heard the name of the Buddha? How much time has passed until we met our teachers and met the Dharma? And on top of that, even after meeting our teachers and Dharma, how many of us actually practice the Dharma sincerely and well? Or does it become another ritual or activity or a Sunday class that we go to? But how many of us actually practice? How much we practice? How much we do, which is very little and very late in life, shows us the rarity of the Dharma. So in this life, it was so difficult and it took us so long to practice. And even in the Dharma, when we have entered, we've taken refuge and we practice Dharma, even when we're near our teachers, we still have doubts. Our mind still goes up and down. We still don't practice consistently. So even when in the Dharma, it's still very rare to practice the Dharma. Having said that, meeting the Dharma is so rare, practicing the Dharma is so rare, being in the Dharma and practicing the Dharma even more rare, why would we want to give up our precious human body and then give up our chances to practice the Dharma? And if we give up our chances to practice the Dharma, when will we meet the Dharma again? When will we get another body with our five senses intact, living in a country that gives us freedom, having the money and the resources to have time to practice? When will we be healthy again? Some people are born from the onset of having very serious diseases or being mentally challenged or handicapped. Not that that can be an obstacle in itself, but it can be an obstacle. How many people take decades and decades of having fun, going out, eating, partying, and then discovering, hey, life is passing me by and what's left? I need to do something deeper. I need to do something more. How many of us actually think about that? So for us to actually lose our bodies, lose our life, take rebirth, enter our mother, come out a human being, come out a human being with the five senses intact, born into a family the Dharma is encouraged, and then living in an area where Dharma is alive and available, and growing up and being interested and not being pulled away by samsara, and then meeting a teacher, meeting the lineage that suits us, and then being trained up and learning and understanding the value of Dharma. And on top of that, when we get the value of Dharma, we actually practice, and then we engage and we transform. How rare is that? And we have the opportunity now. We have that chance now. And to give up that chance for anything else in the world is really throwing a huge gold nugget into the middle of the lake, never to be found again, when we're starving from poverty. When we're starving, we're poverty-stricken, and we're basically don't have any resources. So if someone gives us a gold, huge nugget that's worth millions, and we take that and we throw it in the middle of the lake, and we can't find it again, or the middle of the ocean, it's like giving up Dharma in this life. It's like not practicing Dharma in this life. And similarly, if we don't take care of our health, and we're not concerned about our bodies, Don't be so flippant and think, well, I can just practice Dharma in my next life. How do you know that? How do you know you'll get a human body? How do you know you won't be born in one of the other realms? How many humans do you see in this realm alone practicing Dharma? Very less. How many people do you see gaining attainments? Very less. So to have this opportunity again and to throw it out because of our ego, because we want to win, because we want to be right, because we are attached, because we have not controlled our mind, because we're lazy, would be like throwing a huge gold or diamond nugget into the middle of the lake. So the Medicine Buddha practice is very powerful to help us to purify the karma for this type of thinking. So creating images of Medicine Buddha, huge, large images, as big as possible, on a high place such as a hill or a mountain or a mountaintop or higher ground is very beneficial. And the reason for that is because the bigger the statue, the farther it can be seen. So let's say the statue is very big, from 1 or 2 kilometers, perhaps we can see it without even going nearby. So it can bless those people who even see it from a distance, whereas those people will never have the opportunity to come nearby. So the larger the statue, the farther people can see it from. If people are very far away, they can see it from a distance, and that would bless them. So making a Medicine Buddha, creating a Medicine Buddha, and creating the Medicine Buddha in a traditional manner, outdoors, indoors, to bless people, the environment, and animals, to purify our karma, to dedicate it to our people, our love, for our own enlightenment, is a very, very powerful practice. Very, very powerful. I myself am very attracted to the Medicine Buddha, and I like it very much because I see its benefits. And on top of that, we can do this practice every single day. The one that I just prescribed. We can do it once a week, once a month, or as and when needed. We can do the Medicine Buddha Puja whenever we like. In fact, Kichara House has a department called Puja House. And we have trained people by the monks of Ganden who are able to do Medicine Buddha Puja traditionally and very well for the sick and for those who are deceased. So anytime people can contact Kichara House when people are sick or animals are sick to do Medicine Buddha ritual for them. But let's get back to what I was talking about. We can do this sadhana every single day. We can recite the mantra. I repeat, it's good for us. It's good for our health. It's good for purifying our health if we are ill. It's good for prevention of health. It's good for lessening the karma for ill health, which can be a serious obstacle to our Dharma practice and our daily living. This practice is very good for us. And for people who are deceased and we love them, we miss them, instead of crying and sending out energy in a manner that brings no benefit to them or us, we can do the Medicine Buddha Puja here. We can do the Medicine Buddha practice and dedicate it to the people who are deceased. That would be a very good practice. This is also a very good practice to do for our animals, dead and alive. For animals who are alive, it's excellent to recite this mantra to them every single day and to bless them with it. And it's excellent to even blow on the water for them to drink every single day or as and when we can. It's very good for animals that have passed away also. And it's very good for blowing on animals, example, bones and flesh if we have to, if we come across them to help them to take rebirth. It's also excellent practice to do for the environment, for the land that we live on, the lakes, the grounds. It blesses the whole environment to create a purification that natural disasters don't come so strongly or lessen or eliminate. And the Medicine Buddha practice is excellent for purifying our karma. So, I will upload all of this onto my blog site. You will see this. It's again not for commercial reasons, for sharing the Dharma so many people can practice. If you have any questions, you can write it on the blog post and I or one of my pastors or students, senior students can answer for you. Set up the altar very well. Create Medicine Buddha images as much as possible and give Medicine Buddha images to people. It's good to wear as a pendant. It's good to have on our altar. It's good to have outdoors. And the larger, the better. The more, the better. Medicine Buddha is a very, very excellent and profound practice. My dog, Momo, whom I love very much, has been a very ill dog for many years. I have set up a special Medicine Buddha image about 18 inches high, with the face painted and in traditional manner, with silks ordaining his holy body, and also with traditional manners inserted into the statue and placed in his room with offerings. So every single day, offerings are made to Medicine Buddha to dedicate to my little Momo, my little dog, so that he'll remain healthy and happy. So I've seen the effects and I've seen the results. Many, many times when I have been sick in the past, my teacher has done Medicine Buddha practice for me, and I definitely saw the results. I definitely 100% saw the results. That is for sure. I'm not recommending Medicine Buddha to you simply because it's something I read or something that I just heard. I have experienced the results. I've experienced the benefits myself. I will not teach you or share or explain something to you that I have not basically tried, or I don't believe in, or I don't fully trust, or it doesn't come from a good source. Okay? I have received this practice, the mantra oral transmission, from His Holiness the current Kyabje Pabongka Dorje Chang, Pabongka Chukdru Rinpoche, in India. I've received the full initiation and oral transmission from His Eminence Khenser Rinpoche Jesun Jamba Yeshe. I've also received this practice from His Eminence Kyabje Dema Lhotse Rinpoche. So I'm passing the practice to you today on film in this very auspicious place, Turkey Swamp. This is where I used to meditate. This is where I used to come as a kid. And I live 2.5-3 hours by bicycle from here. But if you are going to take a car, it's about 30-40 minutes. But I used to ride the back roads with my friend Mark. And we ride over here by bicycle literally 2 to 3 hours in the hot sun. But when you're young, you know, none of that matters to you. And we arrive here. I would sit by the beautiful lake. And I would do a lot of meditations. I would do a lot of mantras and prayers. And what was very special was one time I was sitting at the edge of the lake, as you can see over here, right at the edge, right, you know, at the shore of the lake. And I was doing my meditations, and it took about 2 hours, and I did thousands and thousands of Avalokiteshvara mantras here. And when I finished, I did a dedication, I concluded. And an amazing thing happened here. When I turned around and I started walking through the path, I saw 7 to 8 to 9 ducks following me in a single line. When I had finished my meditation, they actually came out of the water and they followed me, single file. So I kept walking, they kept following. When I stopped, they stopped. When I walked, they walked. And as I went a little further, they kept walking behind me, single file. And then when I walked faster, they stopped and they went off. And that happened around here. I remember clearly. So it's incredible. I was at the edge of the water, meditating and doing my prayers. And when I finished, there was no ducks. There's no animals around. But when I finished and I got my stuff together and I got up to walk and I turned around away from the lake towards the path, 7 or 8 or 9 ducks started following me, single file. They came out of the water and they followed me. They were a little couple of feet away. It was incredible. I didn't feed them. I didn't call them. I didn't do anything. And I don't think that it was something special about me, but I think the mantra that I was reciting, somehow they can feel the energy of this mantra and the blessings of the Buddhas. And they felt calm. They felt happy. And they came nearby. So that was very, very auspicious here. Today, over 30 years later, I'm back in Turkey Swamp. Cold. So I'm all bundled here with my jacket and my robes to give you this talk on Medicine Buddha. I hope, Paul, you get well and continue your Dharma journey. I know you will. And I thank all the people who will be doing this practice for Paul. And I also recommend this practice for all my blog friends out there. What lineage you are, what teacher you belong to, what practice you belong to, Medicine Buddha is truly beneficial. You do not need initiation for this. You do not need extensive rituals for this. It can be done from your heart. You can download it, print it out, and recite it every single day. You can print out Medicine Buddha picture from my blog site and have it in your altar. It will be excellent to have an actual Medicine Buddha statue. Save up for that and also gift it to other people also. It would be good to wear on our bodies. It's good for the sick, it's good for animals, dead and alive, it's good for people, passed away or alive. It is, you know, if you go to a cemetery, you don't know what to do, it would be very good to do a medicine Buddha practice over there. If you love someone, it's good to keep a picture of them in front of the medicine Buddha and do the practice there. And for Paul, please print out a picture of Paul, a small one, and put it in front of the medicine Buddha when all of you do this practice. I wish everybody luck. And I hope my short explanation has helped everyone. And if you look at the text, it's quite self-explanatory. It's very, very easy. Don't need to be confused. Don't need to be afraid that you're doing something wrong. With Medicine Buddha, nothing can be wrong. Nothing can go wrong. Even if it goes, inverted commas, wrong, there can be no misbenefit. Buddhas never harm. They only benefit. Thank you very much. From Turkey Swamp, New Jersey.